Wendy King.
A computer network outage temporarily took down a number of websites belonging to a variety of companies, including Delta Airlines and Amazon. Akamai Technologies, a cloud service and web security company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, said it was investigating the cause of its service disruption. In addition to Delta and Amazon, Capital One, British Airways, GoDaddy, Vanguard, UPS, LastPass, AT&T, and Costco were also affected by the domain name system failure. Akamai said the outage wasn't caused by a cyber attack, but didn't detail the source of the problem. The outage caused some Delta customers to be unable to check into flights using the airline's website. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
For USA Radio News, I'm Brad Bernards.
It should be dry overnight, and we're headed back to spotty morning thunderstorms, scattered afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow, and strong heat away from before and after thunderstorms, feeling like 105. And the actual temperatures make it to the mid-90s, 70s to 80 for the morning, 70s to 80 again Sunday morning. Afternoon, scattered thunderstorms, the highs into the mid-90s. Back to more of all that heat, mid-90s, with a possible afternoon storm Monday. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
Need to replace your Social Security card? In most states, you can request one online with a My Social Security account. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can also get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only.
July 24th and 25th.
At the Punch Train Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show,
July 24th and 25th.
At the Punch Train Center, show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right. Here we go again, the Friday edition of the Something to Say radio show. Welcome, 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 welcome. And Mike, how's it going out there?
Dude, it's hot. Oh my goodness. I'm pretty sure I melted today.
Is it officially became swamp ass season?
Yes, it has. I'm pretty sure that it's not actually me calling in. It is my ghost. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's a lot easier for ghosts to learn how to manipulate objects in real life than it is on the movies. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure that I melted today and died. it's been a little warm.
Well, fortunately for me, I work inside here, and it's always cold in here. As a matter of fact, there's been a couple of days this summer that I've had to wear my jacket in my office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, what is that like?
That's how cold it gets.
Wait, hold on. I have a question real quick. Mm-hmm. What's a jacket? I don't understand that word you just used.
Well, that's funny you said that, because this morning on my way to work, I take the streetcar in, and I saw a guy with a winter coat on at the River Bend.
Oh, like, really?
I mean, granted, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's still hot. Who am I kidding? Yeah, it's still like, what, 80 degrees, and the humidity is 1,005%. Yeah, it's still hot as hell. But yeah, he was wearing a winter coat with a hood. So good for him.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Well, apparently you are from hell, and so this is cold to you. So okay. All right. Yeah. So he was probably a demon.
Probably. he should be a little more inconspicuous, though.
Yeah.
Too easy to point out that way.
At least wear a sage jacket. I mean, come on now.
No, it was one of those. To be honest, a lot of girls had them whenever I was in like middle school and like freshman high school, like those Adidas jackets with the hood. That's what he had on.
Okay. All right. Well, then my mind went to like a big starter jacket or something. So I was like, yeah,
it was, I mean, it was still thick. It was, you know, it was definitely a winter coat. It wasn't just a windbreaker or anything. It was a winter coat for sure.
It's not like he was wearing a hoodie or something. He was wearing a real deal.
Yeah, I don't know how he wasn't just a puddle on the sidewalk, but yeah, good for him if he can pull that off. Because
yeah, he's more of a man than I am.
It has officially gotten to that point, and I always like to quote Brian Diaz, who's on After Us with the NOLA Drink Show. We've officially made it to the Death March through summer, and
yes,
here we go. I thought that when I walked out the house this morning. I'm like, oh God, this sucks.
I was thinking this morning, but remember, I don't know, it was last summer or the summer before, but I think it was the Advocate that had the report. They had the article about how it was basically from Beaumont over to probably about Biloxi or so. It showed the area where it was the absolute worst. The experience you could have during summer, and it encompassed all of Louisiana. And it was like, I don't know, Hell's Kitchen, basically.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they called it, but yeah, I thought about that this morning when I walked outside. It was about 6:15 this morning. I walked outside and I was like, oh dear Jesus, this is horrible. I cannot wait till 3:30 this afternoon, because that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. And I was thinking about, but you might be talking me out of it. I was thinking about sitting on the patio to watch the Cardinal game tonight, but I don't know. We'll see how that works out.
You realize you have a TV inside, right?
I know. But now that we got that thermocell outside and I don't get bit by mosquitoes, it's because once you sweat enough when you're, you know, sitting outside, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
So,
That's the reason I always wear an undershirt. You get that. I started doing it in the 90s because it was cool.
Right.
You know, like cool, like, you know, you're the cool guy. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept doing it because I realized that once that undershirt gets wet, it's disgusting. But once that undershirt gets wet, you have that cooler layer underneath the outer shirt, whatever you call it. And then it helps cool you down a little bit. I've wondered for years what to call that. You have an undershirt, so an overshirt, an outer shirt. I don't know. But anyway, but I digress.
Yeah, but and I'll tell you what, if I can get in touch with the people from Thermacell, I will run commercials for free, because bless their hearts, they're angels and they're saints, because that product for $40, and for those of you that don't know what it is, it's a little cylinder. You charge it with a USB cord, and there's cartridges that you put in it, but it's odorless. There's no spray that goes out. But it puts out a 15-foot radius shield, quote unquote. And I'm telling you what, we sat outside all night Friday night and Saturday night last weekend, and not one mosquito bite.
Yeah.
Not one. And that's completely unheard of in Louisiana.
I swatted away about 400 of them a little while ago. I had a 30-minute phone call, and the dog wouldn't stop barking. And so I went and stepped out on the back patio. And I'm don't really know what we talked about because I was too busy swatting away mosquitoes. So,
well, I'm telling you, it's the best $40 investment you can make, and the cartridges are only $18. So I highly, highly recommend it. But let's take a break, and that way we can come back. We'll talk about the unfortunate news coming from the Saints auctioneer training facility. And we'll also talk about Cleveland's new baseball name. And we got a lot of stuff to cover. And Mike and I just chatted up a whole segment. So we really got to get busy now. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more right after this.
This is Tracy Napolitano, Executive Director of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival, presented by Beam Suntory and Four Roses, inviting you to join us August 18th to the 21st at the Contemporary Arts Center in Hilton Riverside in downtown New Orleans. Interact with some of the most renowned distillers, restaurants, and speakers in the bourbon industry. For more information on our grand tasting and seminar series and how to purchase tickets, visit NewOrleansBourbonFestival.com. The 4th Annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival, August 18th through the 21st, benefiting Kids Ken Nola. New Orleans Bourbon Festival is a 21 and over event. Please drink responsibly.
The Mayhaw is the craft cocktail bar located in the historic St. Rock Market. Join us every day for happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. and weekly specials like Tiki Tuesdays, Whiskey Wednesdays, and Thrifty Thursdays. The Mayhaw offers local craft brews and a robust and ethically sourced wine selection for enjoyment with your meal on the patio or for carryout. The Mayhaw is excited to present Mayhaw Mobile, a cocktail, beer, and wine delivery service. Learn more at strochmarket.com.
This is David Duplantier, Dean of Christ Church Cathedral on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans, the diocesan cathedral for the Episcopal Diocese of Louisiana, inviting you to join us weekly for our live broadcast on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We also invite you to learn more about the cathedral at our website, ccc.nola.org.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
All right, welcome back, gang, to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and, of course, streaming live on WGSO.com. Oh, boy, bad news today, and that's putting it mildly, from the Saints, that unfortunately Michael Thomas is not going to be able to start the season and won't be expected back until November due to having surgery on his injured ankle that he injured in week one last season. And he had the surgery in June, With 4 month recuperation time is what is expected on that. Now, that's not to say he can't be ahead of the schedule and things like that, but there again, your $100 million man, you're not going to push.
Yeah, well, and the they said that Drew Brees was ahead of schedule, and he wasn't. I mean, he was ahead of schedule, but he wasn't ready to play, and that's the reason that the last playoff game went the way it did. And I wouldn't push Thomas. I mean, he still has many, many years ahead of him, and so you want to hold him. You want to do with him what they did with Zion. You want to hold him as long as you need to, because you know that if you do, he's going to be that much better in the future.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, here's the deal. Why in the hell – and they knew in January he was going to have surgery. Why wait until June to do that?
Why not do it in February?
Yeah.
March.
I don't understand. And why 4 days before training camp do you let the news out that he's not going to be ready until November?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we already knew that we were going to have to watch when we go next Saturday, we're going to have to watch the quarterbacks. We're going to have to start watching the wide receivers too, because Traquan's going to have to step up. And you got Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris who've looked good, but now is time that they need to shine, because you've got some people behind you with a little bit of, they've got something, but y'all are the guys now.
Yeah, and they're going to have to step up. Now, the Saints are going to be bringing in free agent wide receivers this weekend to take a look at. But even with that, like looking at the list, oh, boy. Well, I mean, you have Larry Fitzgerald who's on there, and it would have been awesome maybe 10 years ago. But he's 38 years old. Because the thing is, I guess if you're going to look at the silver lining, Michael Thomas is a possession wide receiver, so – that's a little bit, I mean, nobody can replace somebody like him. However, it's a little bit easier to find someone who can at least keep the boat afloat. You're not replacing your speedster. But I mean, his catch radius and what he does, and he's so physical, there's nobody like him. But you know, I'm looking at the list and it's tough. Everybody that sticks out are people that are in their 30s. You know, you have Dez Bryant, I guess maybe that would be my number one guy. Maybe
that's kind of what I was thinking as well.
But on the list, you have Danny Amendola, who's a possession receiver, and again, maybe 10 years ago because he's 35. Dez Bryant's 32. You have Tavon Austin. He doesn't fit the mold. He's small, and also he's more of a special teams and really a deep threat type of guy.
We got Marquez Callaway for that. We don't need to replace him. We need to replace a very different style of receiver.
Well, then also if you're looking for someone a little bit younger, the only name that would stick out to me would be D.D. Westbrook, who had – tremendous upside, was released by Jacksonville and really was expected to have a great year last year. But let's be honest, you know, you and I have talked about it a lot. A great quarterback can make or break a wide receiver. And even a good quarterback can help with a receiver. Not to throw shade at anybody with Jacksonville, but Gardner Minshew is not exactly upper echelon quarterback. So, you know, maybe D.D. Westbrook would be a guy. He's 27. Bring him in, and he's a bigger wide receiver. Still has some speed, and there's a lot of potential for an upside. I mean, I don't know. This is tough. I mean, you have Alshon Jeffrey, who hasn't really performed in the last few years. Jordan Matthews, I think he was switching to tight end. Golden Tate. But there again, he's 33, and he's not a big physical receiver.
And the article that I'm looking at, the three that it lists, says a veteran slot receiver would make most sense, and there's still some good ones available, like Golden Tate, Danny Amendola, and D.D. Westbrook. Mm-hmm. When I saw this list, I was like, no, D.D. Westbrook is definitely the only one that you would even consider.
Yeah, I don't think Amendola is the way to go.
No.
Again –
Yeah, maybe like you said, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
and Alshon Jeffrey, even at 31 years old, he's lost so many steps that I don't see that. Josh Gordon is available, but he'll probably if he does get reinstated, he'll probably be suspended. So there's no reason to even bother with that. It's tough, and it's a horrible, horrible time for this because the Saints, they only drafted one wide receiver this year. And to be straight with you, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but it was a later round pickup. I don't foresee that to be the answer.
Somewhat Kwon Baker?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, man. This is tough. Between that and David Onyemata, his suspension. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, you have a quarterback competition, so you don't really know who the quarterback's even going to be. This ain't looking good, man.
And that's something that I thought about as soon as I saw, I guess as soon as you told me about Thomas. It's like, I was really expecting it to be Jameis Winston. But if he doesn't have that target, that target that you know is going to be there every time, you may have to go. And now this is assuming they don't pick up somebody good on the free agency market, but you may have to go with Taysom Hill because he's a lot more mobile. He's a lot better at getting out of the pocket. He's a lot better at getting the ball, getting in trouble, and then getting the ball to a wide receiver, a running back or a tight end or something. I'm almost just right now, without seeing anything, almost kind of leaning towards Taysom now when I thought Winston was a shoe-in.
I agree with you, and I was just getting ready to bring that up. I think at this point, it's probably going to be your best option because you think about when Taysom came in, he didn't have Michael Thomas when he filled in for Breeze, four games.
Yeah, still went 3-1.
It may be right now the best option that'll give you a little more versatility, because let's be honest. Well, and I don't know. I mean, it's disheartening at best. But they're gonna probably load the box now, I would think.
Yeah.
When teams are facing the Saints, because you don't have your star wide receiver. You're questionable at quarterback, and until proven otherwise, this ain't gonna be good, man. Well, I hope they surprise us, but I just don't want everybody to get their hopes up. It's gonna be rough, and there's gonna be some growing pains.
Yeah, and I can see. And now, granted, Sean Payton is a master of football, especially on offense. But in my mind, I can kind of sort of see them going with the college style where you have dual quarterbacks. You go with Taysom Hill until Thomas is back, and then you already have a plan set up to bring in Winston after that.
Yeah. Well, we'll just we're going to have to wait and see, and we'll have a little more insight after next weekend, as much as we can give you after one training camp. Yeah. But we plan on going to a few of them and be able to give a little inside track on what's going on out there on airline. But man, terrible news. But
yes.
You got to deal with it with the hand that you're dealt. And whereas the Saints are still a talented team and just got to overcome, and nobody's going to give you any sympathy. So with that, let's take a break and get some news. We'll be back with more after this.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Looking to make a difference in your community this year? Let New Orleans Habitat help. Volunteering with New Orleans Habitat is easy and satisfying. Help build a house, spruce up a block, or spend an afternoon selling gently used furniture, appliances, and more in our two restore locations. Research shows that when you volunteer, it increases your happiness. So come on, Get happy and volunteer with New Orleans Habitat. Visit habitat-nola.org to learn more.
Boy, have we got a show for you this week. Ever wonder where all the great songs have gone? Well, we found them. Hey everyone, I'm Pat Matthews, your host of 70s Deja Vu, and once again, I'll be looking in the rearview mirror, and I'll see you in the back seat. Join me for some great music, all selected to get you going on 70s Deja Vu. Sunday morning at 7 a.m., right here on 990 AM WGSO.
Propel your business forward with a partner with 50 years of experience. When your business needs get noticed, call on the experts at Sir Speedy New Orleans. Print, signs, marketing, promotional products, and more. Together, we can do more. Visit us on the web at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com or give us a call at 504-586-9812.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. At his press conference this afternoon, Governor John Bel Edwards issued an indoor mask advisory for everyone, regardless of vaccination status, and also outdoors if you are unable to socially distance. This as Louisiana has the highest growth rate of COVID cases per capita in the nation. Today, an additional 3,100 cases were reported, and more than 1,000 are now hospitalized. With only 36% of the state fully vaccinated for COVID, health officials warn of the growing risk for the unvaccinated individuals, especially with the highly contagious Delta variant. LSU Health Shreveport infectious disease specialist Dr. John Van Cherry says if you are sick, the most important thing besides staying home is to get tested.
Because the testing helps us understand what types of variants and viruses are circulating in our community. It helps us know where they're circulating, and that helps us know where to target our interventions, our approaches.
LRN.
Take 30 seconds to save thousands. Go to lacontractor.org and take 30 seconds to make sure the person or company who wants to work on your home or business is licensed by the Louisiana State Licensing Board for Contractors. How much is 30 seconds worth to you? That's lacontractor.org.
Make every day a good old day with the hand-cranked taste of Bluebell ice cream. The good old days are being made right now.
Tiger Red. Tiger Red.
Here we go, here we go.
Are you ready for football?
Here at Tiger Rag, we know this is the most anticipated football season since last football season. You want fluff, eat a marshmallow.
I like the taste.
But if you want the dirt, Tiger Rag's got the shovel. The only way to get more info on LSU sports is by wiretapping a coach. Tiger Rag Magazine, on newsstands today and online at TigerRag.com.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a non-profit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
We are having a party. It's WGSO's 75th anniversary party, and we're looking for all of you to come celebrate with us. If you're a local business, take advantage of this opportunity to be a sponsor for our big 75th anniversary party. We have great sponsorship packages offering tremendous benefits for our partners. If you're interested, contact me, Jeff Cruer, at jeff@wgso.com or 504-669-6076.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
All right, Welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. Big news out of baseball today. The Cleveland Indians, who have been the Cleveland Indians since 1915, are going to be no more after this season. In a video that was narrated by actor Tom Hanks, which I had to go back and look because I didn't believe he was from Cleveland.
I never knew that before I read that article.
And he is not. He's from California. they announced that the name change will happen after this season, and they will now, after that, they'll be known as the Cleveland Guardians. And regardless of whether or not you're with the name changes because of Native Americans or not, the Guardians is just a stupid name.
It's, I know. I know where they got the name from.
Well, please let me in on it.
Okay, well, there's a bridge in Cleveland that on the four corners of the bridge, I guess you could say, like two on one side, two on the other, there's some statues, and the statues, it's somebody that's guarding the bridge, I guess you could say, and they're wearing helmets that have the weird little wing things that are on the logo, and they're known as the Guardians. And so apparently they're named after those statues on the bridge.
Cool.
Yeah, really.
Did those gargoyles, did they design the new logo? Because it looks like maybe a little kid did it and got a hold of Microsoft Paint and did an 8-bit logo. Like, honestly, the XFL logos I thought were really bad when they came out. What was it, last year? I think this is just as bad, if not worse, than some of those.
Yeah. And like I said, it does have the wings. But it also looks like an Art Deco thing from the 1930s. And so y'all probably could at least come up with a modern version of it. I mean, I understand that's one of your things.
Right.
But really, I mean, kind of modernize it.
Well, why wouldn't you just keep the C that they have on their hats now? Like, what's wrong with that?
Exactly. Yeah. Just put a line up and over, and it makes it a G, and there's the Guardians. I mean,
I get it, and truthfully, I don't really care enough. I'm not going to get bent out of shape because they changed their name. It is what it is. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. It's their team. I didn't really get the Guardians thing, and I think that's kind of a silly name for a team. Mostly because it reminds me of the XFL, because I think the DC's football team was the Guardians, if I'm not mistaken.
They may have been, actually, now that you say that.
I think so. I don't know. It just seems like there could have been something better.
Yeah. And I will say my first thing I thought whenever I saw Guardians was like, if you're going to go with the Guardians, at least name yourself the Star Lords. I mean, come on now.
It did, and also made me think of Guardians of the Galaxy. Also,
yes, exactly. you could have like a little crazy raccoon as your mascot.
Well, it wouldn't be. It would be a lot better than what they have.
Yes, it would.
Why don't you tell us about the two potential new teams in the SEC?
Yeah, this was, for some reason, everything that I've read that was written today said it was reported today, but I read it 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was going to say it came out 2 days ago. Mm.
Yeah, but apparently the University of Texas and University of Oklahoma are wanting to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC, which I was not expecting to see that at all, because 3, 4, 5 days ago, whatever it was, I saw a number of articles talking about how the Big 12 was talking about making the horns down sign against the rules, which, for those of y'all don't know, the Texas is the Longhorns, and so they say horns up. They do what basically it's like what you think of as the devil horns like you see at a heavy metal concert.
Right.
They do that, and they say horns up. Well, anytime that Oklahoma and Texas is one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports. So anytime that Oklahoma has a good play against Texas, they do the same thing but point their fingers towards the ground and say horns down. Well, Texas is the one team in the country that has more money and bigger backers than Alabama. And so anytime that they say jump, the Big 12 has already jumped and already knew how far to jump. And so they were throwing a fit about it. And so they were like, oh, we're going to make this against the rules. Well, now, just a few days later, both teams got together and decided, hey, we're going to petition the SEC to join them. And to be honest, I'm not upset about it. Mm-hmm. I kind of wouldn't mind having them. You know, it's and one of the biggest arguments that I've seen against it is, oh, what about recruiting? Because LSU, Alabama, Auburn, you know, they all recruit in that area heavily. But if I was an 18-year-old who was getting recruited by LSU to play football, I wouldn't care if they were in the SEC or they could join the Sun Belt Conference one day before I signed, but before I agreed to play there. It's LSU. I'm still going to play there. And so Texas and Oklahoma fan or player, you know, people that want to play for those teams, they're still going to go play for that team regardless. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to affect LSU's ability to recruit. What it will do, though, is add to the strength of schedule. That is already a huge – that's one of the biggest things when it comes to making the college playoffs. And now that in 2023, I think it is, they're going to expand to 12 teams, that strength of schedule is going to be even more important. So if you have two of the best teams in the country that are not in the SEC now join the SEC, that's going to help out all of the SEC team. Well, assuming they win anyway, mm-hmm. It's going to help out the SEC teams. And so I got to say, I like it. I can see there being some negatives, especially considering that the Big 12 may possibly cease to exist without their two biggest teams. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I don't really see many issues with them joining.
Yeah, I mean, who would be left in the Big 12? Is Nebraska in the Big 12?
Or are they Big 12? You've got Nebraska, you've got Baylor, you've got Texas Tech. Okay. There are other teams, but those are the ones that have been the good teams over the years.
Yeah,
you know, they all have the ability to get better. You know, they're all in a little bit of a slump at the moment, but over the last few years, but they're all the teams that can easily come there. It's kind of like LSU last year. You know, mm-hmm. LSU is going to be back. You know, like they're in the same boat, if you will.
Right.
But Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, it's basically like saying that Ohio State and Michigan are leaving the Big Ten.
Right. You know,
it doesn't matter that other teams are staying that are good. They're leaving, and now pretty much the conference is done. And mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't happen for the Big 12.
Yeah.
They're the only other conference that I'm like, all right, cool, I can get on board with them. But it could happen.
Well, in a way, it's kind of like professional wrestling. Like you have all these independents, but there's only really a couple big dogs. You know what I mean? There's yep. WWE, there's AEW, and truthfully, like Oklahoma teams, like you know, or Texas, unless they're playing in the SEC with really what is NFL version 2.0, you know, yeah. it gives a little more merit to what they do, I think, personally.
Yeah. And to be honest, I hadn't even thought about that. If you're good enough that the SEC is willing to take you in, you're apparently pretty good.
Right. So, well, it's interesting, and I think it's I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off to be in it this season, but apparently there's an announcement they're going to make in a couple of weeks. So have to just wait and see, I guess. Something a little interesting that I saw today, and I'm not for it because, again, I'm a baseball purist, and I think this is stupid.
Yes.
Just another thing for us to poo-poo on. I saw this article today that the Major League Baseball is going to test an electronic device, and I blame this on you and your Strohs, by the way, to test electronic device for catchers to give signals to pitchers. And I don't know, like I read the article twice, and I'm not exactly still sure how it's going to relay. I see how the catcher does it, but how the pitcher is going to receive the signals, because it said that the transmitter or where that's will be worn in the catcher's wristband, and then two receivers that fit within the sweatband of a pitcher's cap and the padding of the catcher's helmet. So are they going to, like, it's going to be like a shot collar? Like, buzz twice for this, buzz three times. I don't understand. And apparently they're going to start rolling it out in the next couple of weeks, too. But let's see here. Information is passed from the transmitter to both receivers using an encrypted communication channel and played with bone conduction technology, the memo stated. What the hell is bone conduction technology? That seems to me that you're getting a little buzz.
Yes.
And not in a fun way.
Aren't they trying to get away from electronic devices? Well, what's going on here?
Well, and it just seems like to me that there's another opportunity for people to be able to steal something, you know, God forbid.
Yeah. But
I don't know. It just doesn't seem to line up for me.
And I will say, I know this is very, very different from what you're talking about, but part of this article, they're talking about the names of the teams, and they're the AA, AAA, whatever it is for this particular team.
Mm-hmm.
One of them for the Seattle Mariners is the Modesto Nuts, which that's a fun name. Right. But then the other one for the Arizona Diamondbacks is the Visalia, not Vidalia, but Visalia Rawhide.
I'm pretty sure it's named after that bar here in the quarter.
Yes, there's some very, very interesting names. Apparently, the people that are part of this minor league team have lived in New Orleans before, and yeah, that's all I'll say.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap up the week with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Tracy Napolitano, Executive Director of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival, presented by Beam Suntory and Four Roses, inviting you to join us August 18th to the 21st at the Contemporary Arts Center and Hilton Riverside in downtown New Orleans. Interact with some of the most renowned distillers, restaurants, and speakers in the bourbon industry. For more information on our grand tasting and seminar series and how to purchase tickets, visit NewOrleansBourbonFestival.com. The 4th Annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival, August 18th through the 21st, benefiting Kids Canola. New Orleans Bourbon Festival is a 21 and over event. Please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 7 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Welcome back to the Louisiana Jones Gumbo Hour. I'm your host, founder, and owner of the TLGHL3C. I'm very excited about having the opportunity once again to have a positive and thought-provoking dialogue with you as we inform and educate each other on various topics or gumbo ingredients in the business, academic, alumni, workforce, youth, and of course the sporting arena. I will be here every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. providing informative nuggets for you and yours. Please call in with your questions or add your bowl of gumbo at 504-556-9696. So that we can add to today's pot of gumbo.
Tom Fitzmaurice here with the Edible Dictionary Word of the Day, brought to you by Dornax, just voted one of the Food and Wine Magazine's top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Today's Edible Dictionary Word is
veal chop. The standard veal chop is cut from the rib roast. It's the same cut that gives us prime rib and ribeye steaks in beef. Two newer kinds of veal chops have become common. Racks of chops cut from the far forward end of the rib cage have small eyes and can be served two or three at a time for a different presentation. These are very good. If you see a veal rack on a menu, order it. The other newly common veal chops are the veal T-bone, or very similar veal porterhouse. Both contain parts of the tenderloin and strip loin separated by the bone. Veal tenderloins and veal strip steaks are underappreciated. These can be better than rib chops if they're cooked properly, but veal is not easy to cook.
The Food Show, every weekday.
Nothing here to see, just to kill out me, trying to cut some tea, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you, I'm still, I'm here trying to figure it out.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM, streaming live on WGSO.com and on all kinds of different apps. I won't name them all, just because I want you to go to WGSO.com. That's far more important. And I always think of that song, and it's just so indicative of our show. We're still three plus years, we're still trying to figure it out.
That we are.
Maybe one of these days. Yeah, it makes it more interesting when we don't even know what the hell we're going to talk about.
Yes, exactly. I literally just figured out as the lead-in music was playing which article I was going to read for Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So, yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. I can promise you that.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, why don't you go ahead and just let it rip.
All right. Well, our 11-year-old niece is still staying with us, and so there's a possibility she's listening, and so I'm going to have to change some words to this article.
Nah, she's got to learn those words sometimes.
Yeah, not for me. So please bear with me on this. Yeah. A man snuck into a Norfolk farm and had relations with a horse, police say. Police in Norfolk are looking to identify a man they say had relations with a horse at a farm in town early Thursday morning. Around 4:30 a.m., a security camera at Turner Hills Equestrian Stables showed the man in the horse stables. The man appeared to use grain as a lure, and one of the horses came out of its pen. The man had allegedly turned off all the stable security cameras minus one, which caught the act. To have someone break into your barn, pick out a horse like it's a lady lover, pull her out and maneuver yourself in such a manner for self-gratification is beyond me. Hillary Swore, the owner of the farm, told the newspaper, calling the man a relations predator. That's a phrase I've never used before. The horse was not injured in the incident, obviously. You're not working with much, probably. Authorities investigated the animal similarly the way they would for a human relations assault, according to the report. He was familiar with horses, Norfolk Police Detective Samuel Webb told the newspaper. Sorry, my phone just jumped around. The way he was able to put the reins on the horse shows he knew what he was doing. So he has done this before. Swar has since warned other area horse farms about what happened, the Daily News reported. The man could face charges, including relations contact with an animal, trespassing, with the possibility of others, Webb said. Those who may know something about the incidents are called the Norfolk Police at that number. So, yeah.
That's, wow.
All right. Good job. I'm surprised you're not from Florida.
Well, to be fair, the area that I'm from, I think we've talked about it before, but I grew up on the Illinois side of the St. Louis area, and there's a lot of farmland that was very close to where I grew up, and there was a gentleman, and I use that term loosely. He was a serial horse lover, and
relationist,
yeah, and he'd gotten in trouble multiple times. For just, I think he just really liked horses. That's the best I can put it.
Well, of course.
All right. Well, how about this one? And this comes from the Daily News. And the headline is Serial Pooper Banned from Defecating, Urinating in Open Spaces After Numerous Convictions in British Town.
I almost read that one last week.
She broke the number two rule over and over again. That one, I think Brenda wrote. A British serial pooper has been officially banned from defecating and urinating in any open space in her town after more than 2 decades of criminal behavior. How in the hell? 2 decades. 20 years of doing this. And she looks like a real jewel, by the way.
Yeah. She looks like somebody who would be pooping in public for 2 years.
Yeah. Amanda Lee, 50 years old, has been breaking the law since 1996. Cue the Beavis and Butthead. With 15 convictions of antisocial... You get arrested for antisocial behavior? All right. Harassment, public order violations, and abusing the country's 999 emergency phone number, which I'm assuming is like 911.
Yeah.
According to police in the northwest English county of Cheshire, there comes a point when you have to say enough is enough and take an additional action to protect the community and the business in the area, Constable Alex Barker said on Tuesday. The Crewe resident has since been issued a criminal behavior order, which explicitly prohibits her from committing some of her most common crimes for 5 years, with violations carrying a prison sentence up to 5 years, in addition to the urination and defecation ban, which is in effect for both public and private open spaces. I don't how is private open spaces? What is that?
Not exactly sure.
Lee cannot
poop in someone's backyard.
Well, she can't carry open containers of alcohol on police either, so she would never make it here in NOLA. And she can't contact 999 unless she has a genuine reason for doing so, or use abusive language in a public place, including using a dog to threaten or intimidate people. This woman seems like a real winner. A criminal behavior order is sought once all reasonable avenues have been explored regarding persistent offenders. In this case, Lee's attitude and behavior has been ongoing since the 90s, and she's been convicted numerous times for incidents that impacts greatly on residents. She has persistently shown no consideration at all for the actions her offending has had on others. Police have informed Lee that she needs to keep a clean sheet, and they encouraged anyone who sees her breaching any of the terms of her CBO to contact authorities. So there you go. No pooping and peeing in public. I feel like you shouldn't have to tell people that, right?
Probably not. But at the same time, there's a page on Facebook. It's like Drunks in
on Bourbon.
NOLA.
Drunks on Bourbon Street. Yeah, I saw
somebody
that.
Right before I came upstairs to do the show. I saw a picture of some guy on Bourbon Street. It looked like it was in front of the, what's the hotel? Royal Sonesta.
Yep, on a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah, he was pooping in a 5 gallon bucket. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, good for him.
I'm proud of you. You have made the right life choices.
Well, and you know, it truthfully, last weekend, my mother-in-law was in town, and we took her to, she'd never had a hurricane before. And I got to tell you, and I'm actually going to call you off the air whenever we get done here, yeah. But I got a side story about that. but you know, After Rudy being in town and going to Bourbon Street 2 weekends in a row, I'm good. I'm good for a while, man.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to go. We left Bourbon Street at 8 o'clock on Saturday night last week, and it was already turning. And you know, good for all of the tourists that are there and the money they're bringing in. But man, I'm solid for a while. I don't need to go back. So. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to have to get out of here. We'll be back on Monday with more of the Something to Say radio show. Everybody enjoy your weekend. Drink local, be local, do local things. And until Monday, we're just going to play Gloria. For more of Something to Say radio show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at S2S radio show. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
You can.